Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the phone rings, and a little boy answers in a whisper, "Hello?" The caller says, "Hi, is your mom there?" "Yes." "Well, can I talk to her?" "No." "Why not?" "She's busy." "Well, what about your dad? Can I talk to him?" "Nope. He's busy." "Well, is there anyone else there?" "My little sister." "Is there anyone else there that's an adult?" "Uh-huh. The police." "Well, can I talk to them?" "No, they're busy." "Anyone else?" "Well, yes, the firemen." "Well, can I talk to one of them?" "No, they're busy too." "Good heavens. Your whole family is busy. The police and the fire departments are there, and they're busy. What's everybody doing?" The little boy giggled and whispered, "They're looking for me." Today we hear the beginning of one of Jesus' most beloved parables, the lost sheep and the lost coin. And though we didn't read it, next comes the lost son. In each story, something is lost and someone goes to radical extremes to find it. These parables aren't just really good stories. They are windows into the heart of God, a God whose love embraces the least, the lost, and the left behind. At the beginning of the Luke reading, we are told that the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. That's significant. Remember, tax collectors were hated for collaborating with the Roman Empire. They were seen as morally compromised and traitorous. And sinners? Well, that term broadly covered anyone who didn't live up to the religious expectations of the day. These were the people that were on the margins, the unwelcome, the judged, those that were looked down upon. And yet, Jesus is welcoming them and eating with them. And the Pharisees think it's absurd. And maybe Jesus' story too. A shepherd leaves 99 sheep to look for one that has wandered off. Most of us would cut our losses. That one sheep is a small price to pay to protect the 99. Or a woman tears her house apart to find a single coin. Lighting a lamp, oil was expensive. She had to go and find that, sweeping those dirty floors, searching every corner. And when she finally finds it, well, she throws a party, probably costing more than that coin was even worth. What kind of shepherd, what kind of woman, what kind of God does that? A God whose love is reckless by our standards. A God who sees value where we might see insignificance. A God who searches, who reaches out, who rejoices. Maybe we struggle with Jesus's images. We don't probably know too many shepherds, and losing a coin, even a quarter today, that doesn't really mean much. So what does lostness look like? In our reading from 1 Timothy, Paul gives us a real example. He says, "I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, a man of violence, but I received mercy." Paul is clear. He was not just slightly off course. He was violently opposing the work of God in Jesus Christ. And yet, Christ met him, not with wrath, but with grace overflowing. Paul says something remarkable. "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. but I received mercy so that in me, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience. The mercy shown to Paul is not the exception. It is the very mission of Jesus. Christ's purpose for the world is to save sinners. In J.R.R. Tolkien's book, The Fellowship of the Ring, Bilbo Baggins writes a letter to his nephew, Frodo, as he heads out on his adventure to destroy evil. And Bilbo tells Frodo how he will recognize the one who is to be his champion of sorts, Strider, also known as Aragorn. He writes this poem: "All that is gold does not glitter. Not all those who wander are lost. The old that is strong does not wither. Deep roots are not reached by the frost. From the ashes a fire shall be woken. A light from the shadows shall spring. Renewed shall be blade that was broken. The crownless again shall be king." It's a beautiful reminder that appearances can deceive. What looks rough and unworthy on the outside may, in fact, carry nobility and purpose. Aragorn was seen as a ragged wanderer, but he was a king. In the same way, those we may dismiss as lost might actually be on the path to redemption. And those we see as righteous may, in fact, be missing the party. In Dr. R. Allen Culpepper's commentary on Luke, he ends the first two parables in Luke 15 with this following observation. He says, "In both parables, finding calls for celebration, and the note of celebration may be exaggerated to emphasize the point. Neither sheep nor coins can repent, but the parable aims not at calling the sinners to repentance, but at calling the righteous to join the celebration. Whether one will join the celebration is all important because it reveals whether one's relationships are based on merit or mercy. Those who find God's mercy offensive cannot celebrate with the angels when a sinner repents. Thus, they exclude themselves." These parables are not just about God's heart. They're also about ours. I believe this parable invites us to reflect deeply, not just on God's love for the lost, but on our willingness to rejoice when the lost are found. Sometimes we struggle to celebrate as heaven does. I've seen it, and maybe you have too. When new people enter into communities, especially those that don't quite fit the mold, there's hesitation, quiet criticism, a subtle resistance. And when that happens, maybe it means we still have a little bit of Pharisee in us still. But maybe it means we also still don't understand how beloved the lost are to God. But there's the good news. Here it is. God keeps searching anyway for the lost, for us, for anyone willing to be found. And when we are, God doesn't just welcome us back. He throws a party. Amen.